Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear stories from Mario Ritter and Anna Mateo. Later, Steve Ember will present our American history series, The Making of a Nation. But first, North Korean soldiers shot at and wounded another soldier who was crossing the border between the North and South. The South Korean military said Monday the soldier was trying to defect in the joint security area of the Demilitarized Zone, or DMZ. North Korean soldiers have crossed the border to defect at times. But it is rare for a North Korean soldier to defect by crossing the DMZ. North and South Korean soldiers stand meters away from each other. The North Korean soldier left from a guard post at the northern side of Panmunjom village to the southern side of the village. He was shot in the shoulder and elbow and was taken to a South Korean hospital, said the South's defense ministry. It was not immediately known how serious his injuries were or why he decided to defect. South Korean troops found the injured soldier south of the border after hearing the sound of gunfire. South Korean troops did not fire at northern soldiers, a South Korean defense ministry official said. The defection came at a time of heightened tension over North Korea's nuclear weapons program. North Korea has normally accused South Korea of enticing its citizens to defect, something the South denies. Panmunjom and other DMZ areas are guarded by hundreds of thousands of troops from North Korea and the United Nations Command. The command includes troops from the United States and South Korea. The area is a popular stop for visitors from both sides. American presidents often visit the DMZ during their trips to South Korea. President Donald Trump planned to visit the DMZ during his visit to South Korea. But bad weather prevented his helicopter from landing near the border area. It is estimated that about 30,000 North Koreans have defected to South Korea since the end of the Korean War in 1953. But most of them travel through China. In 1998, a North Korean soldier fled to the South through the DMZ, but there have been few incidents in recent years. Earlier in 1976, North Korean soldiers with axes and knives attacked a group of soldiers in the DMZ, killing two American soldiers and injuring five South Korean soldiers. The U.S. then flew nuclear-capable B-52 bombers toward the DMZ as a warning to North Korea. In 1984, North Korean and UN command soldiers exchanged gunfire after a Soviet citizen defected by sprinting to the South Korean side of the village. Three North Korean soldiers and one South Korean soldier died in the gunfire.
Iranian officials say more than 400 people are dead after a powerful earthquake struck along the country's border with Iraq Sunday night. A spokesman for Iran's crisis management headquarters spoke to reporters on Monday. He said that about 6,700 people were injured in the earthquake. At least 7 people were killed in Iraq, the Associated Press reported. In the United States, scientists described the quake as being 7.3 in magnitude, a measurement of its relative size. The U.S. Geological Survey said the quake was centered near the city of Halabja in eastern Iraq, but small tremors were felt as far west as the Mediterranean coast. Reports say the worst damage appeared to be in Iran's western province of Kermanshah. In Iraq, health officials said that in Kurdish areas, the quake killed 7 people and injured more than 500 others. The quake also is believed to have damaged a dam on the Diyala River in Iraq. The dam's director told the AP that the dam was built in 1961. He said it was very strong, but had very clear damage. Iraqi Prime Minister Haider al-Abadi said he has directed health and aid agencies to provide assistance. Electricity and water were cut off in several cities in both Iraq and Iran. Media reports from Iran say the quake has affected at least 14 provinces. Iranian state media appealed for blood donations. In Iran, blocked roads have made it difficult for rescue workers to reach distant villages. Officials say rescue efforts have been slow. The head of the Iranian Red Crescent said that more than 70,000 people need emergency shelter. International aid efforts have begun. The vice president of the Turkish Red Crescent told the AP that 33 aid trucks were being sent to the Iraqi city of Sulaymaniyah. 3,000 tents and heaters, 10,000 beds, blankets, and food are among the aid items being sent. Turkey also said it would help Iran if aid is requested. Major earthquake fault lines run through Iran, causing quakes. Some of them are very powerful. In 2003, a magnitude 6.6 earthquake destroyed the historic city of Bam and killed 26,000 people. More recently, in 2012, a major earthquake centered in East Azerbaijan province killed 300 people. I'm Mario Ritter.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Health and Lifestyle Report. There is an old saying, you are what you eat. When you eat the right foods, you feel better physically. But what you eat can also make you feel better emotionally and mentally. American Leslie Korn is a mental health expert. She has been treating people for trauma and depression for more than 40 years. Korn noticed that some of the foods her patients were eating seemed to affect their mental health. She noted that eating foods like dark chocolate, sweet potatoes, eggs, and cherries seem to lower pain levels and ease signs of depression in the patients. She likens the human body to an automobile, a car that needs the right fuel to run.
Think about our body in some ways like a car engine. We need to give it the right fuel, and each of us has a need for a particular combination of proteins and carbohydrates and fats.
Leslie Korn was so sure of what she observed in her patients that she wrote about it. Her book is called The Good Mood Kitchen: Simple Recipes and Nutrition Tips for Emotional Balance. In it, she explains the importance of specific foods, like fats.
The brain is made up of fat, and it's made up of chemicals that talk to each other and that are lubricated by the fat in order to communicate across the synapses and contribute to our ability to focus, to apply attention, and to lift our mood.
She adds that the United States military is studying the effects of omega-3 fatty acids on human health. These fatty acids are mainly found in fish oil, but they are also in some vegetable oils and foods like walnuts. Korn said that researchers suspect omega-3 fatty acids are helpful not only in treating depression and anxiety, but also for suicide prevention.
Indeed, there's some very good research going on in the military looking at the role of omega-3 fatty acids for not only treatment of depression and anxiety, but also for suicide prevention.
Wild salmon is rich in these fatty acids. And in her book, Korn includes easy directions for cooking salmon. However, the health website Prevention notes that all fish contain mercury, some more than others. America's National Resource Defense Council warns that even small amounts of mercury can interfere with brain development. To avoid mercury, experts suggest eating wild Pacific salmon, shrimp, farmed catfish and haddock, or smaller fish such as sardines and anchovies. These all contain omega-3s, but are low in mercury. But eating healthy fats is not enough. Korn says we also need to eat foods that break down the fat. She suggests eating dark green vegetables.
For example, if your liver and your gallbladder isn't working, you can't break down the fats that are then absorbed into the bloodstream and then support brain function. What we know is that the greens, in particular the bitter greens, help us digest fats and send those fats to the brain where we need it.
Those vegetables are part of what Leslie Korn calls the Brainbow Diet. Many health experts say we need to eat a rainbow of foods. In other words, vegetables of all colors. She adds the letter B for brain, meaning this diet is good for the brain.
I call this the Brainbow Diet because the colors in food represent different nutrients. And so your orange and kind of yellow foods provide lots of vitamin A and lots of phytonutrients. The variety of greens were very good for our digestion. Your purple foods and your red foods are very anti-inflammatory. Those are beets and our eggplant and our berries.
Every country, she notes, has specific foods that are good for mental well-being. In her book, she provides directions on how to prepare them. For example, plantain is a popular food in India, Mexico, and countries in Africa and the Caribbean. Korn lists steps for making plantain soup.
Plantain are a large banana, very starchy and a little bit of sweet. And I add some lemon and butter and chopped onion and garlic. and you make it with either a vegetable broth or a chicken broth, and then you add coconut milk and blend. And then I top it with a cilantro, a Chinese parsley, garlic, and grated orange peel and lime juice.
Leslie Korn reminds us that it is not just about the food. Once you have made food designed to improve your emotional health, it is important to slow down and enjoy the meal. And that's the Health and Lifestyle Report. I'm Ana Mateo.
Today on The Making of a Nation, we tell about the European settlers who established colonies in the American Northeast in the 1600s. Here is Steve Ember.
The Puritans were one of the largest groups from England to settle in the area known as Massachusetts. They began arriving in 1630. The Puritans had formed the Massachusetts Bay Company in England. The king had given the company an area of land between the Charles and Merrimack rivers. The Puritans were Protestant Christians who had split from the Anglican Church. They wanted to change the church to make it more holy, more pure in their eyes. The Puritans were able to live as they wanted in Massachusetts. Soon, they became that area's largest religious group. By 1690, 50,000 people were living in Massachusetts. Puritans thought their faith was the only true religion and that everyone should believe in it. They also believed that church leaders should lead the local government, and that all people in the colony should pay to support the Puritan church. The Puritans thought it was the job of government leaders to tell people what to believe. But some people disagreed with the Puritans, who became leaders of the colony. One of those who disagreed was a Puritan minister named Roger Williams. Roger Williams believed, as all Puritans did, that other European religions were wrong. He thought the spiritual traditions of the Native Americans were wrong too. But he did not believe in trying to force others to agree with him. He thought that it was a sin to punish or kill anyone in the name of Christianity. And he thought that only members of the church should have to pay to support the church. Roger Williams began speaking and writing about his ideas. He wrote a book arguing that it was wrong to punish people for having different beliefs. Then he declared that the European settlers were stealing land that belonged to the Indians. He said the King of England had no right to let people settle on land that was not his. The Puritan leaders of the Massachusetts Bay Colony forced Roger Williams to leave the colony in 1636. He traveled south. He bought land from local Indians and started a city, Providence. The English Parliament gave him permission to establish a new colony, Rhode Island, with Providence as its capital. As a colony, Rhode Island accepted people of all religious beliefs, including Catholics, Quakers, Jews, and even people who did not believe in God. Roger Williams also believed that governments should have no connection to a church. This idea of separating church and state was new. Later, it would become one of the most important of all the governing principles of American democracy. Other colonies were started by people who left Massachusetts to seek land. One of those colonies was Connecticut. A group led by a Puritan minister named Thomas Hooker left Boston in 1636. They moved inland and settled near the Connecticut River. Others soon joined them. Other groups from Massachusetts traveled north to find new homes. The King of England had given two friends a large piece of land in the north. The friends divided it. John Mason took what became the colony of New Hampshire. Ferdinando Gorgas took the area that later became the state of Maine. Maine was never a colony. It remained a part of Massachusetts until the United States was established in 1776. The area that became New York State was settled by the Dutch. They called it New Netherland. Their home country, the Netherlands, was a great power with colonies all over the world. A business called the Dutch West India Company owned most of the colonies. The Dutch claimed American land because of explorations by Henry Hudson, an Englishman working for the Netherlands. The land the Dutch claimed was between the areas settled by the Puritans in the north and the Anglican tobacco farmers in the south. The Dutch were not interested in settling the territory. Instead, they wanted to earn money. The Dutch West India Company built trading posts on the rivers claimed by the Netherlands. Indians brought animal skins to these posts for use in making goods for buyers back in Europe. In 1626, the Dutch West India Company bought two islands from the local Indians. The islands were Manhattan and Long Island. The Dutch paid for Manhattan with goods worth only about $24. The Dutch West India Company tried to find people to settle in America, but few Dutch wanted to leave Europe. So the colony welcomed people from other colonies and other countries. These people built a town on Manhattan Island. They called it New Amsterdam. It was soon full of people who had arrived on ships from faraway places. Up until this time, the population was mostly Dutch and British. But now one could hear as many as 18 different languages spoken in New Amsterdam. In 1655, the governor of New Netherland took control of a nearby Swedish colony on Delaware Bay. 9 years later, the English did the same to the Dutch. The English seized control of New Amsterdam and renamed it New York. That ended Dutch control of the territory that is now the states of New York, New Jersey, and Delaware. Most of the Dutch in New Amsterdam did not leave after it became New York. The English allowed everyone to stay. They let the Dutch have religious freedom. The Dutch were just not in control anymore. The Duke of York owned the area now. He was the brother of King Charles II of England. The king gave some of the land near New York to two of his friends. Sir George Carteret and Lord John Berkeley established a colony. They called it New Jersey, after the English island where Carteret was born. The two men wrote a plan of government for their colony. It created an assembly that represented the settlers. It provided for freedom of religion. Men could vote in New Jersey, whatever their religion. Soon, people from all parts of Europe were living in New Jersey. Then King Charles took control of the area. He sent a royal governor to rule. But the colonists were still allowed to make their own laws through their elected assembly. The King of England did the same in each colony he controlled. He collected taxes from the people who lived there, but allowed them to govern themselves. One religious group that was not welcome in England was the Quakers. Quakers called themselves Friends. They believe that everyone has an inner light that leads them to God. Quakers believe they do not need a religious leader to tell them what is right, so they had no clergy. Quakers believe that all people are equal. The Quakers in England refused to recognize the king as more important than anyone else. They also refused to pay taxes to support the Anglican Church. Quakers believe that killing is always wrong, so they would not fight, even when they were forced to join the army. They also refused to promise their loyalty to a king, or a government, or a flag, only to God. For all these reasons, the English did not like the Quakers. Many Quakers wanted to leave England, but they were not welcome in most of the American colonies. One Quaker found a solution. His name was William Penn. William Penn was not born a Quaker. He became one as a young man. His father was an Anglican and a good friend of the king. King Charles borrowed money from William's father. When his father died, William Penn asked that the debt be paid with land in America. In 1681, the king gave William Penn land, which the king's council named Pennsylvania, meaning Penn's Woods in Latin. The Quakers now had their own colony. William Penn said the colony should be a place where everyone could live by Quaker ideas. That meant treating all people as equals and honoring all religions. It also meant that anyone could be elected as a leader. In most other colonies, people could believe in any religion, but they could not vote or hold office unless they were a member of the majority church. In Pennsylvania, all religions were equal.
The colonizing of America also spread to the South. The farming economies of these areas came to depend on slavery as a source of labor. It would also lead, 2 centuries later, to a civil war that nearly tore the nation apart. Slavery in the Southern colonies will be the story tomorrow on The Making of a Nation. And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.